I'd like to take this opportunity also to publicly thank someone who's always in the sidelight and doesn't get noticed for it, because you're not supposed to be noticed for sound. When you notice the sound and you notice a problem, then that's not good. And he's very skilled. Henry, thank you very much for all you've done and all you continue to do, making gorgeous sounds coming out of the speakers and doing all those things. It takes a lot more expertise than most people can imagine. So thank you very much, brother. I did a search for the different attributes of God this week, and it's very interesting. I stumbled on something called I God, like we know that needing something else with an I in front of it. And it was actually a computer program that when you ask a question, it shot something. I figured out by the first question that I really wasn't talking to God on this particular thing, because it didn't realize it was transcendent or omnipotent. So maybe the programmer did, but it did not. So I wasn't really talking to God on that one. I figured out it didn't take much to figure out that God was not particular in this particular one. This version of God didn't listen very well. And I'm glad I don't have to pray to a God that is like that. Do you know that God listens to us? Of course you do. Of course you do. Also that we talk to God? Of course. Absolutely. Today, about one of the only things you hear God being talked about is in the media is the crazy people. They're making some kind of statement about how God has talked to them and they decided to blow away some people with M16 or shotguns or whatever. And that's the version of people talking to God, or people hearing what God has to say, that we have in our public arena today. It's basically crazy people, or the Mormon polygamist that decided that what he was doing was in the will of God, and we know that's folly. It's not scriptural, and it's a joke. It's just an absolute joke. Has God talked to you? Has God talked to you? Nobody's going to think you're crazy if you say yes. God has talked to me. He's talked in an audible voice before. He's talked in inaudible voices, through his actions, through the actions of other people, through, you could say, mentors around you that exhibit their life in a way that is godly and that really leads you. That's how God can talk to you. God talks through us through our pastor when he preaches. God talks through us through the songs we sing, the hymns we sing. That's a very powerful way that God talks to us and convinces us and speaks through us through the songs. How do we know the will of God for our lives if we don't talk to him? We must ask God when we feel bad and when we feel good, when we lay down, when we rise up. Does God care, and does God direct us? Absolutely. God directs us in all our paths, even though we may not realize what's happening. He is in total control of who and what we are. He does care. So God even directs people who are not believers. The scripture is full of it. We read today in Sunday school class and in past Sunday school classes how he uses kings and rulers over us to direct the way God, to do what God wants them to do. We have no choice. That's the way it is. God has control of those. It's scriptural. Listen, 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and for those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So we would like to hope that the rulers appointed over us are godly people, but it doesn't happen that way. That's why I've been so proud to be part of a fellowship that has people running for office and supports people running for office that are godly and devout men in God. And that's a great thing that we don't have enough of. So, unless what they have to say goes against God's will, we listen to them. As soon as they go against God's will, against the Scripture, then, you know, we can't follow them. So we are either to pray for those people to make wise and godly decisions or to pray for their souls. Now, God uses events in our lives, sometimes good and bad, to tell us what we should do, go and how we should live and give us some examples. There was a midshipman that was killed 2 days ago on Riva Road in Annapolis area. My understanding was he was not in fault, but got into a car with someone who was at fault and late at night was killed. I tell my kids this, you know, be careful who you're riding with. You don't know who they are. And a very tragic thing. That event can be used in life of my kids to explain to them how it's important to follow God's direction and to do the right thing and to not get in the car with somebody. I told them I'd give them big money. If they just call me up, I'll come get them. Not a problem. So only a fool would hear the voice of God and not respond. And the world is full of foolish, foolish people. The Bible's full of incidents where God is speaking to his people, and it seems that God doesn't always speak to us in this day. Some people say that God only speaks through the Scriptures. It's not true. He speaks to us, and if we're listening to us. Today we're living in desperate times, yet the church is not desperate before God in prayer. We live in desperate times, but the church is not desperate before God in prayer. We're called to prayer in our daily lives, in our family lives, not because we need to, but because we are commanded to. We have no choice. Do we pray enough? Do you pray enough? Probably not. I preach things that I need to hear, okay? It's not like I get a chance. It's like teaching Sunday school. You learn so much better when you're teaching Sunday school or teaching a class. You learn really better than everybody else. So I preach the things I need to hear also. So don't worry. I'm not holier than thou. I'm preaching because I need to hear it too. We don't pray enough. So let's examine prayer a little bit in the light of what God has taught us and what's necessary to achieve proper God-honoring prayer. We are called to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I mean people in this church. Do you pray for other people in this church? Yeah. Other folks? Let's start out with that. And preach and pray for those people around us. We're in direct contact. That's why we have morning prayers, that you can hear the musings and the ideas and the thoughts and the concerns of each of us and be able to pray for us. If we don't pray for the people in our church, who's going to? Who's going to? We don't have to know the exact personal details of everything. God knows that. But we can still pray and uplift. We don't know when Charles is going to have his surgery. That's okay. God's going to take care of our brother Charles. Bless his heart, he sure is. And he's going to take care of each one of us. If you have something specific, call a pastor. Talk to him about it. But generally, we all pray for each other. And you have a church roster of people who attend here. It doesn't have to be members. Pray for them. Pray for them. God knows the details. Look, when the veil of the temple was rent, was torn in sunder, when Christ was crucified on the cross, that gave us Jesus' finished work on the cross. We no longer had to go through a priest for prayer and for intercession to God. We can go directly to God. That's the whole point. Some of us have the hardest time that God really listens to us, but he really does. And God doesn't just speak in the written word. Nothing ever will contradict his written word if God is talking to you. What he says to you will never contradict the written word because that is the word of God directly. Now, times are not getting easier. Are they? No, they're not. They're getting much more difficult to live. And that's why prayer is so important for us and for our children. 1 Samuel 12, 16 through 23, or 16 rather, says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. It is a sin to not pray." It is a sin to not pray. Did you ever realize that? Maybe not. If we are not praying, we are not in accordance with God's will, and we are sinning. It's in black and white. It's not the only place that says it. So how many times have you sinned this week by not praying? How many times have you neglected to give God the praise and thanks for everything in your life? If we walk with the Lord, we're required to pray without ceasing. That's what Apostle Paul said. Pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing means praying all the time. And we wonder why we get upset. And we wonder why we feel that God doesn't have anything to do with us. We're not talking to God. So, go and sin no more. Pray. Okay, who prays in our country? A U.S. News and World Report did a survey, as they are always doing. 75.6% of those who responded were Christians, by the way. 64% say they pray more than once a day. 65% say that when their prayers relate to health, they pray about mental health or depression. 56% say they most often pray for family members. 3.3% say they pray for strangers. 38% say that the most important purpose of prayer is intimacy with God. 41% say their prayers are answered often, while 1.5% say their prayers are never answered. 73% say that when their prayers are not answered, the most important reason is because they did not fit into God's plan. 5% say they pray most often in the house of worship, and 79% they say they pray most often at home. So, we seem to be in a praying nation, but I don't perceive that that's the case. I have an understanding, and as I've been studying this, that God is very grieved by our lack of conversation with Him. God will not speak to us if we do not speak to Him. God will not speak to us if we don't speak to Him. It's been evident throughout the history in the Bible, and it will continue to be evident in our own country. The longer we are here, if we don't speak to God, He's not going to speak to us. Who benefits from prayer? Does God benefit? God doesn't need our prayers anymore than He needs our offering. He desires us to pray. We benefit from our prayers. You heard the expression, prayer changes things. When I say this, the prayer changes us. Prayer changes us. We pray to God in thanks, noting that He is sovereign of all. But prayer really is because we have human needs and desires, and prayer will affect a positive change. It doesn't mean that we get everything that we ask for. It would be nice if that were the case. You know what? This church would be full. If we had everything we asked for, there would be no seat left in this sanctuary, because God would all of a sudden be some kind of heavenly Saint Nicholas that gives us everything. So, why do we pray? We pray again because we're commanded. The scripture says, a fervent prayer availeth much. And the clue to the word here is fervent. It should be one that's asked properly and in all seriousness and often. What did we learn in Bible school? Put God first, others second, and ourselves last. That's a good formula for prayer. God first, others second, and ourselves last. We do actually have a model prayer. a model prayer, and you know it already, Matthew 6:15-5-13. And when you pray, you shall not be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray, and if you'll join me, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Great prayer. That's how you start with your prayers. That's how you model your prayers. Jesus did that for us, for a reason. There's nothing in the scripture that's not there for a reason. You need to understand that. What hinders us from effective prayers? What hinders us from effective prayers or from praying at all? Sin. Is that new? No, of course not. Sin, unconfessed sin, will hinder us from prayer. Things that happen in our lives that shouldn't be there. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Psalm 66:18 says, If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. That's a bit scary. God doesn't listen to us when we are in a continual, habitual pattern of sinning. Very scary. You know, when we have communion in this fellowship, when we come before the table, our pastor talks about confessing known sin. So we'll be clean and white in sin, from sin, to receive the offering that God has for us. How many times have you prayed, but you have been knowingly rebelling against God? The only prayer that God really does hear is a prayer of contrition and repentance. God also, and someone asked you this, God also does not hear the prayers of people who are not believers. He hears their prayer of repentance and salvation, but he does not hear their prayer from an unbeliever. I didn't make it up. It's scriptural. It's there. So sin and unconfessed sin will cause God not to hear you. What else? Selfish motives and vanity. He doesn't hear. This is one like praying for a fancy car, and you're not probably going to get it, but that is not a justifiable. Listen to this. Job 35:13. Again, indeed, God does not listen to their empty plea. The Almighty pays no attention to it. James 4:3. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure. God also doesn't hear us when we have pride in our hearts. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble in James 4:6. He doesn't hear our prayers when there's unbelief and doubt. He will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me, John 16:8. And then, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, James 1:6-7. Unforgiveness. If you can't forgive someone, God is not going to hear your prayers. Didn't make it up. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Idolatry. That's those little idols, right? No, idolatry is not the little idols. Idolatry, it comes in your heart. It's the things that you find are more important than God. That's the idolatry we have today. In the Old Testament, we've had real idols and that kind of thing. But idolatry is still alive and well in our world today. Idolatry. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which caused them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Ezekiel 14:3. So idols, another thing. A bad attitude. A bad attitude towards your wife, men. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Okay, guys, it's 1 Peter 3:7. It's right there. And if you ask for things outside the will of God, will God hear? Absolutely not. No. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. 1 John 5:14. And not praying in Jesus' name. We in the military have heard that a lot. When we hear corporate prayers, we don't always hear in Jesus. In fact, we never hear Jesus' name. It never happens, except very rarely. I can think of the fingers of one hand the time that's happened in the military. It is generally a generic prayer. But the Bible says, ask in Jesus' name. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14:14. My aunt had a funny one. She would say that, that prayer hit the ceiling. And I can think that would be true. So, what are the causes of prayerlessness with you or your family? Lack of time. We have become busier than God originally ordained us to be. Our lifestyle and society has made things very busy. Lack of an undisturbed place to pray. What does the Bible say? We have to discipline ourselves, go into our closet and pray. We can pray any place, and we're going to be talking about that in a moment. We must discipline ourselves and take time for prayer. You'll never find time. You must make time. You must set up the priorities of prayer. Prayer is the most important activity you can ever engage in. Now, we look at prayer. How did Jesus pray? We read the model prayer. Now we talk about how Jesus prayed. What types of places did Jesus pray? He prayed every place. When he's standing up, he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. The disciples gave it to the multitudes. Again, they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. That was in John 11:41. Jesus prayed on his face. He went a little further in Matthew 26. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, O Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. On his face. Kneeling. When he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, he knelt down and prayed. Where does he teach us to pray? Everywhere. And Jesus prayed in a closet, Matthew 6, in a garden, Matthew 26, on a mountainside, in Luke 6, in solitude, in the wilderness, and in Luke 23:33, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and one on the left, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And Jesus had cried out with a loud voice. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So they prayed, he prayed again, even on the cross. And he prayed at any time of day, the morning, the evening. That's exactly what we're to do. How we educate our children, how we pray with them at any time of day. Now, what did Jesus ask for? He prayed for his ministry. In Luke 3:21, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass Jesus was also baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was open. We can pray for the ministry of our church and a pastor. That's what we could do. He prayed for daily strength in Luke 5. However, the report went out concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So we can pray for strength in countering the devil and his nasty tactics, because they're very much so. And Jesus prayed for a specific guidance. He prayerfully sought God's direction. We can pray for guidance in our everyday life and finding opportunities for ministry and witnessing. We must do that. We are in a war, and prayer is one of our most effective weapons. So Satan will fight us every step of the way. But because we are in a war, because the body of Christ depends on each one of us holding up our part on the front line, we need to strengthen our feeble arms and weak knees through prayer. We need discipline. We need to discipline ourselves so we regularly, continually turn in active dependence on the Lord through prayer. So what must we do in this battle to win? Before you pray, put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We use all types of prayer. We pray for intercession. We pray for forgiveness. We pray for healing. We pray for all these things. There's many types of prayers. We pray at all times. You can pray in a car when you're driving. Just don't close your eyes. It's very possible to do. All types of prayer. And all at all times. We pray in the Spirit. A Holy Spirit is that power behind a believer in Christ that gives us the power of prayer. And we must utilize the Holy Spirit in all that we do. We're watchful and alert, and we look out for each other. As in the military, that's one thing that you always look after your buddy. Look after his back. Take care of guys around you. Well, believers in Christ need to do the same thing. Instead of biting each other in the back, we look after each back and take care of each other and nurture each other and pray for each other. Okay? We must be devoted to prayer. Devote your family to prayer. Devote my family to prayer. All our families need to be devoted to prayer. We need to pray in accordance with God's promises and gifts. We need to pray like the night is coming, like the song says, because the night is coming. It's going to be darker than light as we go through our lives here. Prayer is that thing that will be able to fight off the wiles of the devil. Pray for your family. Pray for our church. Pray for those around you. Pray for opportunities of ministry that God can help you find ways to tell those around you about the love of Jesus Christ each day of our lives. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the time to pray and come before your throne in prayer. Thank you that we have a Father that hears us. Thank you, you are a Father that hears us and leads us, even instructs us how to pray. We love you and need you every day. Help us to call on the Holy Spirit as we pray, as we lift you up. Guide us through this day. Thank you for the power of prayer that we can use in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.